Welcome to North Valley's devotional podcast for February 5th, 2021. Today we'll be reading from Genesis 16, verses 1 through 6 from the Message. Sarai, Abram's wife, hadn't yet produced a child. She had an Egyptian maid named Hagar. Sarai said to Abram, "God has not seen fit to let me have a child. Sleep with my maid. Maybe I can get a family from her." Abram agreed to do what Sarai said. So Sarai, Abram's wife, took her Egyptian maid Hagar and gave her to her husband Abram as a wife. Abram had been living 10 years in Canaan when this took place. He slept with Hagar and she got pregnant. When Hagar learned she was pregnant, she looked down on her mistress. Sarai told Abram, "It's all your fault that I'm suffering this abuse. I put my maid in bed with you, and the minute she knows she's pregnant, she treats me like I'm nothing. May God decide which of us is right." "You decide," said Abram. "Your maid is your business." Sarai was abusive to Hagar, and Hagar ran away. The story of Abram, Sarai, and Hagar is a hot mess. Sarai, for reasons that are not completely disclosed, hasn't had kids yet, and in her impatience and desperation, offers Hagar to Abram as a kind of surrogate mother. We don't really know how Hagar feels about this arrangement, but once she's pregnant, she sees it as a status upgrade and starts treating Sarai poorly. Sarai complains to Abram, "It's all your fault," which hardly is a fair conclusion, and Abram plays coy. He's not willing to take responsibility or make a decision. This leads to a deeper spiral of broken relationship between Sarai and Hagar runs away. It's no coincidence that this narrative comes on the heels of God's reaffirmation of the promise of descendants to Abram in chapter 15. This is not what God had in mind, though the second half of the story in chapter 16 affirms that God is gracious to Hagar and weaves in her offspring to the promise of kids as numerous as the stars. There's trouble down the road from this action, both directly in Abram's family and in conflict between nations later, but this story illustrates again that Abram may have pleased God through his belief, while he also made a lot of choices of his own accord that point to Abram not being so trusting as to leave it all in God's hands. He's willing to be influenced by Sarai, willing to try and make the promise come true. It's certainly a failure in foresight on Sarai and Abram's behalf. If this plan works, it's going to cause jealousy and strife, as Hagar is more than just a surrogate. Her son Ishmael will become Abram's hope of a legacy and the fulfillment of God's promise until Isaac is born some 15 years later. Sarai, if she was thinking, would have known that inviting Abram to be intimate with Hagar is opening the door to problems. But sometimes the hope of what we so deeply desire drives us to do things that have consequences we think we're willing to face, even if, when we're really honest, we aren't willing to live with those consequences. The specifics of this arrangement are beyond our experience. We don't live in the type of society that allows us to gift servants to become concubines. But the motives and desires of Sarai and Abram are not far from our experience, even if the details are. This is a story that emphasizes that ends don't justify the means. In part, this is true because the ends don't work out the way that folks expected them to. The end of Abram having a son is realized, but there are other unexpected results that have major impacts on everyone involved. The takeaway, stated directly, is don't try to fulfill God's promises without involving God. Although this is a story beyond our imagining in our day-to-day living, it's also a story that at its heart keeps repeating itself. Over and again, our experience and history tell of the hope and promise of faithfulness devolving into brokenness and abuse because we have tried to make it happen rather than trusting that God will work it out. It's easy to have contempt for Sarai and Abram. With the benefit of hindsight, it's easy to criticize and decry their choices. But in our own lives, with the things that matter most to us, perhaps we're as willing to try and make things happen as they were. Some questions for today. Are you faithful to discern and collaborate with God's intention in your life? Have you had an experience where you've been willing to let the ends justify the means? How has that worked out for you? How are you tempted to make God's promise happen?